So thank you for being here until the end. So my talk will be about GEMS, which is a high-level language for energy system modeling. So my name is Antoine Ostré. I am a research engineer at ARTI, the French TSO, so the Europe largest TSO, in terms of size, but also in terms of budget, I guess. And I have to say that we are lucky to have a significant budget for R&D. We also have the chance to have an R&D management that is very, let's say, favorable to open source. And my research area is mainly related to one of the key missions of ARTI, which is conducting prospective analysis of the security of supply and of the network development needs on behalf of the French government. So I start with a small semantic note, because it matters here. So the title claims models as data, but what means here a model in the context of energy planning? In this community, the term is a bit overloaded. Some people use this term to speak about a tool, like FAFSA, like Antares. Other people use the name model to speak about a study case, like FAFSA Europe, or the Antares TONDP study. And others may use the term to speak about the related optimization problem. Here, what I will call model is much more simple, let's say. It's just the abstract mathematical description of a given type of components of an energy system. So for instance, the mathematical equation that we are using to describe the behavior of a storage unit, of a nuclear power plant, or of a transmission line. So some authors may call this a submodel, but here what we call model is just a type of component, and it's a mathematical description. So today I'll be talking about a language, not a tool, or at least in most of the presentation I will be speaking about the language. So this is an algebraic language to represent models of components, and therefore to describe systems in a self-contained, unambiguous way. So, what is GEMS? So, GEMS stands for Generic Energy Systems Modeling Scheme. From a theoretical point of view, this is a graph-based algebraic modeling language. So, to configure and extend models of components. And this is coming with a data structure to represent energy systems. So, for now, two interpreters for GEMS have been developed. So first we developed a Python interpreter for GEMS. It was like our proof of concept, and then we industrialized this Python interpreter into a C++ code that is now inside Antares Simulator. The Antares Simulator being the tool that is used in production at ARTI for prospective studies. So we have now a documentation website that is really centered on the language. So basically how GEMS is working here. So we are just describing an energy system as a hypergraph. So the vertices of the graph are basically just some components. And so the graph is described in a YAML system file. So the components are the vertices, and they instantiate models. The models are described in another file that is called the library file. So basically, the library file is the file that contains the mathematical descriptions of each type of component.
It's like this on the time.
And basically, oh yes. Okay. So basically, the edges of the graph are the connections between components, and they are connected through ports. So how does the model look like in a library file? It's just the simple declaration of the parameters, the variables, the ports, and some mathematical constraints, and the contribution of the models to the global objective of the system. So here, for instance, we see a very simple model for what we can call a bus. with a spillage and unsupply energy when energy is missing. And then in the system file, so the file that represents the system, we just have for each component the reference to the model that the component is instantiating and the declaration of the numerical value of the parameters that are declared in the template. So basically the core concepts are in fact optimization concepts like variables, parameters. By default, variables and parameters are indexed by time and scenarios. We have also like the objective, constraints. And as regards the graph, we use the notion of ports, and the ports have fields. Basically, the components can exchange linear expressions through fields. So where does GENS fit among existing modeling tools? So basically, we tried to find a good compromise between algebraic modeling languages like Ample and classical tools, object-oriented tools like Antares, Pipestar, etc. So basically, we try to be as expressive in terms of mathematical expressivity as Ample, but we try also to natively embark the graph nature of a system. From a mathematical point of view, we are representing mixed integer linear programming problems over time cross scenario grids of indices. To represent so deterministic or two-stage stochastic study cases. And the main targeted applications are adequacy assessment studies, production cost simulation, and capacity expansion planning. I like to make the analogy with Modelica. So basically, we are a bit trying to build a Modelica, but the difference with Modelica is that Modelica is designed for dynamical systems, so to simulate ODEs, whereas we are simulating optimized systems, so systems that are simulated by solving optimization problems. So what were the motivation for this architectural breakthrough? So first I will, so as a reminder, explain the breakthrough. So the idea is that in classical object-oriented modeling environments like Pipestar, Antares, the mathematical equations of the components, so the models of components, they are hard-coded inside the software. And then the software builds an optimization problem through a multi-solver interface, give it to a solver, and then read the outputs based on the optimal solution. And now we are freeing the models from the tools. That is to say, we consider the mathematical equations as inputs, and then the interpreter is just a piece of code that dynamically reads the equations to build the optimization problem. We are still using a multi-solver interface. It's not an alternative to a multi-solver interface like InnoPy or OrTools. It's just a small layer of code on top of it. And then basically the idea is to build a community of models, that is to say, for instance, we can represent in our library the legacy models of Antares, so the models that before were hard-coded in Antares. We have also a library of the Pipestar models, so the equations of the Pipestar components, and we could imagine to maintain several libraries depending on the use cases. So this is a kind of architectural breakthrough for Antares Simulator, and I will explain the motivations. So, as I said, it is our tool for large-scale planning studies at RTEs, the official tools for studies, so national studies and European studies. The first motivation at the beginning of the project is mostly, let's say, versatile modeling. Then also the maintainability of the code in an evolutive context and interoperability. So that's why we designed the language and an interpreter inside Antares. So first, the first motivation, so versatile no-code modeling. So this topic arose when we saw that it was more and more difficult to maintain a stable code while addressing a lot of new questions from the users. So for instance, can we add this new type of components? Can I change my components to have, I don't know, a storage injection capacity that depends on the state of charge. So a lot of evolution asked by the users. So we were thinking that the classical options that we had were a bit limited. Like historically, we could use modeling artifacts. That is to say, if you want to model a flexible load, you can say, okay, it's a load, a generator, and custom constraints. So you can use the hard-coded grammar, but it's then a bit a mess. You can also implement a new component in your code, but then you have to manage the impact on all your chain of application. Or in the Jamz way, now you can just add a few lines in your YAML library file, configuration file, to introduce your new type of component without any change in the software code. So we think that it will reduce the time to market of new models for users, and it will also help keeping a more stable core code. So that's the second motivation, maintainability in an evolutive context. So we think that we manage to, by doing this, to decouple modeling from industrial software engineering for better maintainability and for better synergies between teams. And the last motivation that, let's say, came up later is the interoperability between tools. So why interoperability? It's mainly that for our academic and industrial collaborations, our aim is to reduce, let's say, the communication cost with our partners and also to better capitalize on common works. The problem with interoperability is that it's a bit like trying to fit, let's say, circle pegs into square holes or the vice versa. So two possible approaches are possible to share study cases in a tool-agnostic way, reducing ambiguities. The classical approach is semantics. I try to build ontologies to list all the possible, let's say, components of energy system that we can think of and trying to list their parameters. Or the way that we are proposing, it's an alternative, it's more like complementary that replacing the first one, but we think that a more direct way, maybe, is just to share the math behind, to share the symbolics. So I think that thanks to Jamz, we're able to share a study case with all the important information that you need to re-simulate the test case. But still, one caveat here, we are able to share the mathematical formulation, but still, a tool is not only a mathematical formulation, it's also a solution workflow. So we think that the solution workflows will remain tool-dependent, and we're fine with this, because it's also what is interesting in the multiplicity of tools. To finish my talk, I will just introduce you to a small to the test cases that we conducted to illustrate the last motivation, interoperability, with PipeSA. So I think that at this time of the day, you know what is PipeSA and probably what is PipeSA Europe dataset. And we wonder how we could try to take advantage from this very nice dataset, from this very nice community, and to make a bridge with our ecosystem. So we build a simple converter from a PipeSA network to a Jamz study case. The idea was to confirm the expressiveness of the Jamz language, also to connect, as I said, with this impressive ecosystem, and also to be able, in the end, to run internal or public Antares or PipeSA test cases with the same software, reusing infrastructure and graphical user interface, and sharing advanced optimization methods like our Bender's decomposition code that we are developing. So basically, we just wrote, as I said earlier, the PipeSA models into just one YAML file that represents the mathematical equations of PipeSA. And we just have a small piece of code that takes the PipeSA network object and exports the data in our format. But it's just about, let's say, changing the format of data series, let's say. So we are conducting numerical comparison tests. So a parallel run between PipeSA and our Jamz interpreter. And we managed just to have the same numerical result, same objective value. So this is a work in progress. So for now, we are not managing all the PyXA components, but we will soon. And we will also conduct larger scale test cases. So to conclude, GEMS is a project that started almost 3 years ago now. So we first had a prototype in Python, and now it is integrated into Antares Simulator in a hybrid mode, because we still have to manage the, let's say, legacy code of Antares. And for the next year, we are going to have a GraphQL user interface that manages GEMS object, and we are going also to continue working on new features for this language, and we are going to make this feature roadmap public. So the key takeaways, so we are proposing a high-level language that takes the mathematical models out of the software code, so that we are able to share self-contained input data for running study cases and for replicating the simulations. We have two generic and stable interpreters, so one high-performance, let's say, interpreters inside the Antares simulator, and one, let's say, sandboxing interpreter in Python called GemsPy. And those code are just, let's say, symbolics, just mathematical, handling mathematical expressions. There is no business logic hardcoded in those interpreters. We think that this approach favors versatile modeling, maintainability of code, and interoperability. And for sure, we are open to new collaboration around GEMS. So GEMS, let's say, was developed in the context of an R&D project, so with external partners. So we already have some academic and industry partners on the topic, but we are open to new collaborations. For instance, to study interoperability with your favorite tool, or to start structuring together reference libraries of models, or to work on a graphical user interface, for instance. So that was GEMS. Thank you for your attention, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. The workflow process, or over time?
If you have a simulation over time, can you expand, for instance, can you provide a rule like here's the tariff for expanding, and you start a simulation and you try to see what is the structure that the grid is going to develop over time. You don't know the end of the structure, you're just trying to test different ways of expansion. Did you guys work on that a little bit?
So the question is whether we're able to manage a structure of a network that is evolving over time. I would say that you have to put, let's say, your expansion candidates from the beginning of the simulation, but you can force them to be to have null capacity at the beginning of the simulation.
The graph gives you that power. That's what I loved when I saw your presentation. We were working on that, and in the Linux Foundation we have people working on that as well, on using graphs to express the grid, and graphs give you the power of expansion as well. Well, did you guys explore that a little bit? Or
not yet. I'd say that we are focusing on core features.
Okay. Let's talk about it, because we did some interesting work on it.
So the question was if we studied the possibility to have a dynamic structure of the graph over the simulation time. But it's still to be explored. Yeah.
I'm interested in how you landed on the syntax of your models in that you've have YAML and you have some expression on the right hand side. How is that expression parsed and what are the limitations?
So I'm not the software developer behind this, but yes, so the question is how do we manage, how do we parse and manage expressions in our language? I think it's based on ANTLR, so it's a package to manage expressions, but let's say that we have then our own structure to represent mathematical expressions.
Yeah. So I'd be very happy to talk to you at the end because I work on something that sounds completely unrelated to what it is that you're doing. I work on a key, which is a configuration language that has this expressive capability of references to things, so you have the graph concept, but also the capability to express the mathematical expressions on the right hand side as well in a fully typed way. With the whole thing being type checked with incomplete data, so you actually fill the values of the way.
That's one of the things that's we use the Python library that does mathematical expressions, and we could from the graph build the mathematical expression, like the whole structure of the mathematical expression from the graph, derived from the graph and building. It's the graph is the key to expressing.
You get all of that with the cube.
Yes, the graph is really the key to it. It unlocks a lot of stuff when you're building.
And also from a software engineering perspective, I think it's very interesting because it gives a very clear interface contract between, for instance, your graphical user interface and your simulator.
Your motivations were absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You mentioned that the mathematical description was complementary, not even conclusive, with the ontology approach. I'm not an expert, but my gut feeling is that if you describe it through the maths, you are more productive than an ontology. You have to describe exhaustively what comes within the graph. So I feel it not complementary, but clearly replacing it.
So the question is, are semantics and symbolics complementary or in competition somehow? I would say that indeed that if I had to choose between both approaches, I would more go for the second one because let's say that you have then all the information that you need to do the simulation. Whereas if you are doing semantics, then you have to check some documentations or some specifications to understand the logic behind. Still, I think that to organize our library of models, it could be interesting to refer to some standard taxonomies, because we still have the we still yes, I think we will have the matter of the issue of organizing this pathway. So.
Explore the link of using the graph with other types of problems, like a hashful problem linked with the load-full problem. For instance, you have a grid and you have to calculate who owns how much to whom because of the powerful link. Who has to pay what to whom because they produce the consume. And that's a different class. It's not solved by the same type of solver as you solve a classic power flow performance. Can you guys explore how you can couple power flow modeling and cash flow modeling?
So the question is about a potential use case mixing linear power flow modeling and cash flow modeling. So for now, I think that we will really stick to mixed integer linear programming problems. So that's what one of our, let's say, clear direction. Then I think that still it opens a lot of possibilities for other use cases than the one I mentioned, like adequacy assessment, expansion planning, because somehow, in the end, the language is very mathematical. There is very few, almost no energy concept inside. Maybe the only energy concept is just the time dependency and scenario dependency, but let's say that we kept the word energy in the acronym because this is the language is designed intentionally for those applications, but potentially it's more general than.
There's still 5 minutes or 4 minutes for question. Any question? you mentioned you are in the French transmission system in Korea. And is there a way this this asset could help the entire Europe to make its prospective designs? What are the tools we are using, either RTD or other TSOs?
So I believe so. The question is whether, let's say, this this tool, so this language could, could benefit to other users or to benefit to the collaborations between TSO in Europe, for instance. I think that's the case in the sense that interoperability is a real issue for, especially for European studies to. To have, let's say, a smooth process between between the different partners, because there are several tools and it's not easy to communicate between between tools. So I think that with GEMS we would be able to share study cases, to share data in a well-organized way. That is, we can argue that this is a tool-agnostic way to do this. So that's I think that's a promising avenue.
Thank you.